Welcome to the Pet Loss Companion. I'm here with my friend and colleague and co-author, Nancy Sexton Lopez. This is a program that we do every Thursday from 6 to about 6:30 or so p.m. Eastern time. Usually this time we're doing a recorded program because I'll be traveling in the week that's coming up. And it's a program that allows us to have a dialogue with you. It's based in the work that we did that created the book, The Pet Loss Companion, Healing Advice from Family Therapists Who Lead Pet Loss Groups. But this medium allows us to hear from you directly. And so you can reach me at kenddv@gmail.com. And you can reach Nancy at nsextonlopez@csmpc.com. And all the information I'm sharing right now is available in the description that's attached to the program. And when you write to us, you can either share your own story, or you can send us a recommendation for a guest, or you can send us a recommendation for a topic. If you share your story, please let us know whether it's okay to share on this podcast and whether or not it's okay to share beyond that in text form on our Substack newsletter, because we will be happy to either share or not share your story. And if you don't want us to share it, then let us know that, and we will, one or both of us will respond to you in any case. But if you send us your story and you send us some photos and it's okay to share, we will include them not only on this program, but also in our Substack, which is a new element of our offerings that allows you to read the letters that come into us, see the photos that are sent, and also see our responses. And sometimes there's a series of back and forth. Mm-hmm. And the way that you get access to that is going to the link that's attached to in the description. And we'll let you know also that There's a subscription fee of $5 a month. This is also just a way to support mm-hmm. the work that we're doing. You can support our work in a number of other ways, to a gift through Venmo or PayPal or a monthly subscription. Also, this program is a friend of Dakin Humane Society in Springfield, Massachusetts. This is a shelter program, pet adoption program, and also they sponsor all kinds of programs and resources for community members, one of which is a cost-free Zoom pet loss support group that I facilitate. It takes place on the second Tuesday of every month and runs 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. And it is completely free. There is a registration link in the description. And if you are thinking of joining, please, and the next one will be on February 13th. If you are thinking of joining, please register early, because we do cap the registration, because these have been very well attended and we don't want them to be so large that they're unwieldy for the participants. And also, please subscribe on YouTube if you find value in this program. It helps others to learn about the existence of the broadcast, and that's really helpful for people who may benefit from the program. It's also just helpful for us because it gets the word out more. So if you subscribe, that would be very helpful. If you put a comment and maybe put a thumbs up, that's also really helpful. And the final item as we get going here is we'd like to let you know that we have an affiliation with a company called Bereave. Bereave creates these finely crafted granite plaques, memorial plaques, that bear the image of your animal companion and their name and any other information that you might like to include. They are very well crafted. And right. We have an example. Nancy has an example that she can hold up, but we wanted to make sure that we saw them and were able to hold them before we engaged in promoting them. And if you purchase one of these plaques, you are also offering a measure of support to our program. Nancy, you want to get us started?
Yes, we're going to have one story tonight. Actually, we probably could talk about Joanne and Eddie for quite a few podcasts. And she, you can feel her palpable distress in her experience with her Eddie.
And Eddie,
oh, he's such a sweet
Eddie
little boy.
Eddie is such a cute little thing.
Oh, my God. So I'm going to start. Ken and I are going to share this. We had gone back and forth with Joanne quite a few times. I have another few emails here, actually, but we're going to start. I'm writing to you with a heavy heart. My beloved Eddie passed away July 25th, 2023, on the anniversary of my departed father's birthday at the heartbreaking age of only 6 years. To me, it was a sudden loss as he was being treated for a series of what appeared to be rather simple things over the past 9 months. Eddie was rescued from a kill shelter in Houston, Texas, after being on his own for some time, they said, based on the condition of his paws. They said he survived a hurricane on his own as well. He was retrieved from the kill shelter by a local rescue, then another rescue picked him up and brought him to Minnesota, where he was with a foster family. The fostering didn't work out well for him, as he kept losing weight, had skin issues that weren't getting better, and had some behavior problems that the foster was not able to handle. She had her heart in the right place, but Eddie needed more than she could provide. I saw him on a website and reached out to the rescue. They indicated that they would not adopt him out until his health issues were addressed. I kept calling. Finally, I found out that they were taking him to their vet repeatedly, and he was getting worse, and things were not going well for him. At this point, they were willing to let me foster to adopt him. On December 15, 2018, I picked him up from the foster and was shocked to see how thin he was, 15 pounds. He was anxious, had very thin hair and skin issues. He was not trusting enough for me to pick him up without fear for both of us. When I got him home, I introduced him to my other dog, Mitzi, who was sad as my dog, Cubby, had recently passed away at nearly 19 years of age. She was happy to see a new friend. As time went on, I worked with Eddie to resolve his skin issues. He gained weight, and by the end of the first month, he was 24 pounds. He came to me with roundworms and resolved those immediately. We worked on his resource guarding, his potty training, his fear of noises. Even a toaster frightened him. He never lost his fear of being outside, particularly if it was raining, his night terrors, etc. The hurricane left an indelible mark on him. It took a lot of treats to get him to go outside, even when I was with him. He wasn't a fan of going for walks, and I assumed it was due to his prior life. He didn't like being picked up, and I thought this was a trust issue we needed to work on when it was right and both of us were ready. Eddie and I became closer and built more trust, but he still held back. I pretty much left him to do as he pleased. If he wanted to cuddle, he would come over and we would cuddle. If he didn't come by me, I didn't push it. I would hand him a treat and he would want me to put it down rather than take it from my hand. Then he would often hide it and guard it as if the treat was larger than one bite, especially if it was larger than one bite. He would stare at me for long spans of time, and initially I misunderstood this as some sort of dominance assertion. After a while, I realized he was just looking at me lovingly. He still was distance, however. He wasn't just ready to be picked up at will, cuddled, and hugged tightly. He needed time to get used to all of these things that no one had ever taught him or let him experience in his puppyhood that was cut so short by being caught up in a hurricane and becoming homeless before being 1 year old. In the spring of 2022, my mom had a stroke, and although I worked from home, I still had to be away from home more than usual while she was in the hospital and in various rehab facilities. I believe this was traumatic for Eddie as he started licking his privates aggressively. One evening in the fall of 2022, I took Mitzi and Eddie outside, and Eddie lifted his leg to go potty and fell over. He wouldn't get up. He still wasn't okay with being picked up, but I did it anyway, carrying him in the house and putting him on the sofa to relax. I let him rest while I made their dinner. It wasn't a half an hour, and he was up and ate full dinner. The next day, I took him into a secondary vet, as his primary didn't have any appointments open. He again was terrified at the vet, as per usual. It just wasn't a place he could calm down. I explained to the vet what had happened, and they took him into the back. I still remember them pulling him into the back as he tried to resist. Breaks my heart. I wish they had let me go back with him. In the back, I was told that he expressed his anal glands on one of the tech's shoes, and they had to do a free catch urine sample rather than sterile. They said he wouldn't let them pick him up. If they had informed me, I would have held him for them, but they didn't let me know. When they looked at his urine, they said it had a lot of crystals. I didn't really know what that meant in terms of what he had or how to treat it. They said he had a bladder infection and were going to prescribe antibiotics. We went home with antibiotics and a cone to help stop the licking. After the antibiotics ended, within 3 days, the licking came back. I called the vet and they said more antibiotics are needed. After the second course, same thing. This time when I called them on what next steps were, they told me he had a nervous disorder and they could either prescribe Prozac for him or I could keep the cone on him and work to keep him calm. I didn't want him on Prozac because I didn't feel that was the issue or going to help. I worked to keep him calm and get him relaxed on the sofa more. In early February 2023, the licking became constant and nothing could stop him. His coat also has started to change color. He was normally jet black and now each follicle was half tan and the ends were black. It was winter, but I had him a few other winters and this had never happened before. Ongoing, he never wanted to drink water and I did talk to the vet about it on a few other occasions as it concerned me. I scheduled an appointment with his primary vet and described my concerns about his licking and unsure of what was behind that, the color changing coat and the bladder infection that he was treated for last fall. I told him I didn't think he had a skin allergy or nervousness that made him do the licking. I said it's something else. He didn't respond to anything I said, and he recommended light therapy for his privates to get the healing started and antibiotics to address the skin infection and steroids to help with the inflammation of the skin. Call me care supplements to help ease his nerves also. I'm so angry with myself as I should have insisted on a blood test and urinalysis. I am not sure why I didn't. Maybe I was relieved to hear it was a simple fix from another vet where it was just a skin issue. I don't know. We went home and began the meds. He became ravenously hungry, and a week into the meds, I called the vet and said that the licking was still there, but the hunger was insatiable. They said this is expected with the meds and to give him canned pumpkin if he wanted more food. The licking was easing, however, but he wasn't himself. He was wanting to sleep more, cuddle more. I wasn't sure if this was progress with the calming care supplement or something else. I didn't know what was going on with him. He was eating well, playing with toys still, but he did like being under blankets on the sofa surrounded by his dollies, three large stuffed animals he always had to have near him, one he would suck on and knead with his paws to fall asleep. I miss seeing that so much. My heart just breaks. It was winter, so really there wasn't much else for him to do when the weather was bad, as he wasn't a dog who liked time outside, particularly in the cold, even with a jacket on. In June, I took him to the vet for a spring checkup and also as he had been licking his left flank. This time, I insisted on a full blood panel and told him he wasn't feeling well. They did the blood tests, and I had assumed they did it in-house, but they sent it out, which delayed the results. I assumed a full blood panel meant that they tested all the things that are common issues or concerns, and also those things that covered his symptoms. They again prescribed antibiotics for a skin issue and sent us off. 2 weeks later, I called as they hadn't heard about his blood test results. They said he had some elevated values and wanted to test him for Cushing's disease. I got a copy of his blood work, and the report from the IDEXX indicated the next step was a urinalysis. I didn't really know what the other values were in his blood and did a little research regarding Cushing's. The symptoms of Cushing's didn't match Eddie. They were excessive water consumption and urinating frequently. Also, this was an issue for dogs much older than he. I mentioned these things to the vet tech when I brought Mitzi in for an eye pressure check, where I also brought in a urine sample from Eddie, as IDEXX had recommended in the test results, despite the vet not asking for it. She told me not to Google things and to bring him in for a stim test. I brought him in the next week. July 14, 2023. At the appointment for a stim test, he was barking a lot in the lobby and bouncing all over the place, so I took him into the restroom. After a while, they gave us an exam room to use to wait in for the test. He did the test and the results would be given to me once they had them in several days. On the way home, I stopped by a drive-thru to get a sandwich. The person at the drive-thru noticed Eddie in the car and gave him a little vanilla ice milk in a cup. He loved it. The rest of the day, week was uneventful.
Friday, July 21st, I called the vet to find out the results of the stim test. The receptionist indicated it was negative for Cushing's. I was relieved as I had been reading up on Cushing's and it was noted that the typical lifespan once diagnosed was about 2 or 3 years, and that had me terrified. So it was a huge relief to know he didn't have it. I indicated that he still had elevated blood values and his urine wasn't concentrating, so I wanted to know what could be done to address those issues. They said they would call me back after talking with the vet. They called back and left a voicemail message indicating they would prescribe supplements for his elevated liver values. This was the first time that her liver was involved, and I was to restrict water for his urine not concentrating. He didn't drink water at all, really, and this info had been given to them repeatedly over the years, so it wasn't going to take away the little I added to his food and my ongoing attempts to get water in him somehow. Overall, I was rather relieved by the news. No Cushing's. They had his blood and urine test results and felt the supplements were going to address the blood value evaluations. He admits he ate dinner. However, I noticed that Eddie didn't eat as much or as quickly as he usually did. He had a plain baked potato cooked zucchini and tilapia, nice and bland, which I assumed was also why he wasn't too excited about it. But I wanted to be cautious. Normally, he had white chicken, brown rice, and vegetables, and some lemon pepper. I gave him something more bland.
The next morning was Saturday, July 22nd, 2023. He and Mitzi went outside. Eddie threw up about one tablespoon of water with a few pieces of last night's potato on the top step outside, which was unusual for him. Normally, if he ever regurgitated, it was immediately after eating too much too quickly, then would re-eat it. I solved this issue by feeding him smaller portions repeatedly, smaller portions separated by 15-minute intervals. So he hadn't vomited or regurgitated for a few months. He and Mitzi came back in and I was concerned, but thought maybe his tummy was empty and I would put some food out and see if that was of interest. He wasn't interested in food, and this was not typical. He hung around as I did my Saturday chores. After a couple of hours, he wanted to go into the breezeway, where there are a lot of windows, one of his favorite rooms. He laid down in the sun. I kept doing my chores, but continued to check on him, brought him water, petted him each time I checked on him. After a couple of hours, I thought we should get him checked out. I called him each time I checked on him. After a couple of hours, I thought we should get him checked out. I called the ER vet in town and they were closed. Wow, this had never happened before. His normal vet and his secondary vet are both closed on weekends. I searched for another vet and struggled to find anyone. The closest ER vet was over 80 miles away, and Eddie wasn't a fan of riding in the car. He was already nauseated, and I wasn't sure putting him in the car for 2 hours, stressing him, would be the right thing. Since he just threw up a little, and that was all new. Also, I had to think of my 97-year-old mom, who I cared for in my home. She couldn't be alone that long, and I had no one to watch her for the day. I thought that the ER vet may well be open that evening, as that is how they ran things over the past several years. They would be open from 6 or 7 p.m. and close at 6 or 7 a.m., except on weekends. At 6 p.m., I tried calling the ER vet again, still closed. A little later, Eddie came into the house and got up on the sofa. I took this as a good sign as he climbed up onto his blankets on the end of the sofa. Mitzi, he and I all fell asleep. At 1 a.m., I woke up and found Eddie gone from the sofa, had messed the blankets, and I found him on the floor below the sofa. I went by him, and he was unconscious. His body was limp. I tried the ER vet again and still closed. I was so worried and upset. He started to have seizures, and I was beside myself. I searched the internet for info on vets and office hours on Sunday. I found a new vet in a nearby town open at 9 a.m., by this time, he was awake and responsive, but not walking around. I bundled him up, held him as I drove to the vet, explained what had gone on, and they took him in, gave him fluids, and did a blood test. They said he had acute liver failure and pancreatitis. I was devastated. They said they would put him on IV meds, but they could not keep him overnight, and he needed more care than I could provide at home. He had to go to the ER vet. I called my sister to see if she could help. I was not able to leave my mom, and my sister wasn't comfortable in taking care of her. She agreed to help get Eddie to the ER vet. He was sitting up at the local vet, so I had hoped things could turn around. And it had only been a day since he was walking around and had been at the vet only a week ago for testing. So I was hopeful things were reversible. I held him for as long as I could, kissed him, talked to him, then tucked him into my sister's car and watched as she drove off with him. That was the last time I saw him and held him in my arms. At the ER vet, they checked him in and called me soon after, said they were going to get him stable and the internist would contact me in the morning. They let me talk with him via phone. I had sent one of his dollies and his blanket with him and asked that they make sure those items were close by him so he could smell them and lay on them. I called and checked on him several times overnight. And the next morning, the internist called. She told me they were going to check him out and work to get food in him. She said she had good intentions of getting his health back and would be in touch. I continued to call throughout the day on Monday and into the evening and night. The next morning, the internist called and said he was not responding to treatment and that I needed to make some decisions. I told her he hadn't had enough time and I couldn't do that. She gave me till the end of the day. At 11:30 a.m., she called back to let me know that he had passed on his own at 11 a.m. I was in shock. How could this have happened? I asked some questions, and she didn't have many answers. I talked to his primary vet and his secondary vet for info, and no one would tell me what they thought had happened. So I got all his blood test results, urinalysis, and investigated it myself. I used IDEXX reference info, the NIH, Merck veterinary manuals, talked to retired vets, etc. I found he most likely had a partially blocked bile duct, likely beginning last fall, along with chronic pancreatitis. Chronic pancreatitis is insidious, and it's a primary cause of a blocked bile duct. It has mild generic symptoms that wax and wane. They're not throwing up repeatedly. They're able to eat. They don't have as much or maybe little pain. They aren't excited about a lot of exercise, but will run around and bark at strangers, watching squirrels, etc. The bile duct issue made his appetite ravenous. I always thought that if a dog is eating, that's a good sign. I had never dealt with liver issues or biliary problems in dogs, so I had no frame of reference to know what was actually a symptom of the problem. I further researched what caused a blocked bile duct. And the most common thing is pancreatitis, which has two forms, chronic and acute. Everyone knows about acute. Symptoms are obvious and severe, unmistakable. Few vets seem to think about or know about chronic pancreatitis or to watch for it in their patients. Eddie was licking his privates, most likely due to pain in his abdomen. His private part just happened to be in the way. He didn't want to be picked up, maybe due to abdominal pain. I'm so upset that I didn't realize he had these things. I should have rather told them that his licking was likely due to something other than superficial skin issues, like he was licking what hurt. His diet alone could have stopped things from progressing, had I known. He needed a very low fat diet and high protein. I gave him normal fat and normal protein. I feel like I killed him. As I would give him a piece of chicken nugget as he got on the sofa with his paw on my leg or doing his tricks to get a little piece of what I was eating. I would give him as much fruit and veggies as he wanted, but little pieces of pizza crust or little pieces of chicken nugget he also would get occasionally. I did not typically have chicken nuggets or pizza. It was an occasional treat. My dogs would get a few little pieces if they asked for them. I was careful not to give them the batter or the chicken on the chicken nuggets, and they only got the crust of the pizza, not the pepperoni or cheese toppings. I've done this with all my dogs, and they have lived to 17, 18, and 19 years of age. I don't know why I didn't work harder to get him to drink more water all along. This too may have helped to avoid the horrific outcome. I could have given him broth or a little yogurt in his water to make it more appealing, but I didn't. I should have spent more time with him, working with him so I could pick him up. This is one of the easiest ways to determine if they have abdominal pain, but I hadn't gotten him to be okay with me picking him up yet. So at the very young age of 6, I let my best friend die in the worst way under my nose. He had pain and it was traumatic for both of us. He had a hard life, his entire life. I wanted to be his hero, saving him, but I failed and didn't do my best for him. I'm feeling overwhelming guilt and grief. I can see his little face in my mind and it haunts me. We had such an incredible bond. I saved him initially, addressed many of his issues, but may have added to others. In reality, he was great for me. He saved me with his love and loyalty. And then I screwed up. Now he's gone. I didn't pay enough attention. I didn't research things. I didn't push the vets like I typically do. I didn't do enough to fight for him in any of the ways I should have and typically have done in the past. I was afraid. I was afraid to get too involved in diagnosing him as I didn't want to mess things up. He's so special to me and desperately didn't want to mess things up with my Googling things on the internet. I assumed I knew less than the vets did about my dog. This was my mistake. I don't know how to forgive myself for messing up this badly on my best friend. I'm so sorry, Eddie. So, so sorry. Please forgive me. I pray we will live together for eternity in heaven together with all of my beloved dogs. Thank you for helping people through their trauma. It's devastating. I wish I knew all this 1 year ago when I could have changed his fate, changed my fate. I shared the trauma of his passing with you. If you think this information would be helpful to others, you can take what you need from it. I realize it's a long read. There are a lot of details and my mind is still grieving and spinning from the extreme loss and such horrific guilt. I knew better than this. The fear of messing things up for him got in the way of helping him. I'm not sure how to recover. He and Mitzi slept with me every night. I miss him bantering with Mitzi on who got to sleep curled up in front of me, pressed tightly against me, who got to sleep between my knees. I miss seeing him cuddle his dollies, sucking on them and kneading them with his paws. I miss him. I'll always miss him. My heart is broken, forever heartbroken, Joanne.
Now, she is the guilt.
Yeah.
Is so, so much. She's overflowing with guilt. And the question with the vets, I mean, we're not blaming veterinarians, and certainly Joanne did everything possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Have done for her Eddie. I mean.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, it's a terrific painful example of what many, many people go through.
Yes.
They go through some research and some talking to other veterinarians and then they start blaming themselves.
That's right.
And it's so unfortunate because her hypothesis could actually be in error too. I mean, we don't really know. We don't know why Eddie died. We know that he had some chronic health conditions that were really hard to pin down. And she had at least 2 and then 3 vets who were examining him, and he still died. And for me, the thing that's important to do is to try to let go of all of the questing for answers. I mean, she's desperately trying to figure out what happened. And a lot of times that's just not possible.
Right. And also she ends up blaming herself that I needed to do more research. I needed to know who knew about chronic pancreatitis. I didn't even, until I read this, I mean, I knew about pancreatitis. Tashi died of pancreatitis, but chronic pancreatitis? I had never heard of that. So the vets didn't appear that they knew anything about that either.
Well, that's the thing. And you know, I do think there is reason to be very cautious about Googling and believing what you get through doing so, because there is so much content on the internet. It is often contradictory.
Yes, it often is contradictory.
And you are not, she's not a diagnostician. She's not a veterinarian. And she's desperately trying to piece together a story that accounts for this. And I feel like it is just a tragic wheel spinning exercise. I mean, it's very typical. That's what we wanted. We want
to impart a lot of people to go through this.
Some degree of control. Yes. Right. We want some degree of control, some degree of mastery. And so this is very, very common. But I do think that it's important to try to let go and to just be able to say, I did the best I could, which I'm sure she did. She did do the best.
Absolutely.
She's an amazing pet.
Amazing pet parent, taking that little boy and having behavioral issues and having medical issues. And she took such incredible care of him.
Yeah. And that's what I would like her to focus on, that she gave him some really wonderful years that he never would have had. He was declining.
If she hadn't taken him, he would have died.
Yeah, he would have died. Mm-hmm. And she saved him. She gave him the best years of his life. And she deserves to stop this and to just try to be kind to herself. And in the final analysis, nothing is going to bring him back. So this is an exercise in futility. And certainly applying guilt to herself. I mean, it's so hard to, I know that it's so hard for her not to do that, but I hope that she's able to find a way to release that, because she deserves to feel much better and to feel good about how hard she tried in his last.
She was an amazing
illness, and what a wonderful time she gave him. These were the best years of his life, and they're all because of her.
And Joanne had written us another email, which was probably about as long as the one we just read, and then she did a third one. Within like a month and a half.
And these are things that you can read on the Substack.
Yes, the Substack will have all of this information and how we responded. And she appreciates us and the kindness. Thank you. But I think this has been helpful for her to write all of this and to move that out of her with all of this angst and sadness and anger and all of these feelings that come with grief.
I just want her to be kind to herself.
Yeah, of course.
I did the best I could under the circumstances. I brought Eddie to the veterinarians who were specialists and knew his background and had worked with him, and then to the emergency room, where of course they're well-versed in dealing with this kind of end stage crisis. And I just hope she can start being as kind to herself as she is to
as kind and good to herself as she was for Eddie
and to her other companion.
Yeah. I mean, Joanne, we really appreciate this. This is agonizing for you. And it was important. And you love this little boy so much because you took care of him. You know, you were so intimate with everything that he was doing.
And I'm sure that all of her words of anguish are going to really resonate with lots of people.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of people go through this. And then you one other thing, and this is in so many parts of the country, that the amount of time or distance that you have to go potentially to an ER, vets being closed, and then having the anxiety, the agony, the frustration, the fear. I know it's unfortunately how that works.
So we want to thank Joanne for sharing with us. And we want to remind you too, if you find this program useful, please do consider subscribing on YouTube and maybe leaving a comment or a thumbs up. And Nancy, as always, it's good talking with you.
Yes. Take care, everyone.
Take care.